Hello, good morning, everyone. I want to talk about the stress habit with you this morning and didn't announce this Facebook Live, so feel free if you have any questions to pop in and let's have a little chat on your life, anything I can do to help this morning. So some of you, if you live in the United, if you live, well, depending on holiday and day and what kind of work you do, most of us are off today, of course. Some of us are not, but if you are and you're watching this morning, hopefully with a cup of coffee or a cup of tea and just relaxing, that would hopefully be the best of intentions so we can talk about your stress habit while you're not in a state of stress because that's the most ideal scenario. Good morning, Mary. How are you? Welcome. So let's put stress in perspective a little bit. I've been doing quite a bit of just 15-minute consults, as you know, with the Habit Behavior Change Health Coaching Program. If anyone's interested to see how it fits into their goals and their intentions, that's the best next direction to go. And stress, I've noticed, of course, in my own life as well, has become so much of a habit for so many people that it becomes just this automatic way of living, and we don't realize any other way of living. So I want to dissect it with you for just a short while this morning so we can really just look at it for what it is and give you some solid steps on how to actually start changing that. So let's talk about the habit and behavior change formula. Let's do a quick review of that for just a moment here. We have thought habits. Well, and we'll back up even further. Habits are automatic, autopilot ways and states of living and existing. We do them, we don't even think about them. They are effortless in nature, truly. Brushing our teeth, tying our shoes, riding a bike, driving a car. We do them and we don't think about them. And so our thought habits, in our habits and thought, our thoughts drive our emotions. So our thought habits, our emotional habits, and then our physical behaviors. And beyond the physical behavior is the symptoms of that physical behavior and the thought in our life. You could call them the manifestations, meaning I eat too much sugar, and therefore there's physical symptoms or manifestations in my life, like fat on the body or inflammation in the body. And so big picture, of course, we can see physical behaviors. We often see those as of as habits. That's really easy to think about. So we have I exercise or I don't, or I eat my vegetables or I don't, or I meditate or I don't. Those are all habits we can put into place. And of course, they fall into many categories into our life, not just in health. And so then we have common emotional habits that we work with, of course, are stress, anxiety, frustration, overwhelm, hopelessness, despair, depression. Those are all emotional habits, meaning for most of us, it's as easy to go be stressed out is as a natural habitual response to life as it is to brush our teeth. So the stress habit is a real thing. And then there are thought habits. So habits and thought, common ones that we work with are all or nothing thinking, catastrophic thinking, obsessive thinking, overthinking, trying to control things that we cannot control, perfectionism thinking, storytelling, drama. Those are all types of thought habits, right? Oops. Those phone notifications are just going. We're trained. And so those thought habits, those drive our emotional habits, which drive our behaviors, meaning that if you are always overthinking everything, it will highly likely be that you're just going to be stressed out, right? If you're always trying to control things you can't control in the future that are out of your control, stress will ensue. If you are worrying about what you could have said, should have done in the past, that typically lends towards feelings of deeper depression, oftentimes catastrophic thinking, obsessive thinking that can lead to anxiety. And so the thought creates the emotion. And I'll tell you what I've told everybody all the time is that habits are not your destiny. And so that's not just in physical behavior. I'm asking you to really think about it in a much deeper way, in a much more responsible way that says, where our habits are not our current story. They may make up the habits of the mind, emotion, and behavior, make up the physical manifestations in your life, and they make up this current story that you're living in right now. But that's not to say that should you want to step into this story or this life over here with these things and these experiences, it simply requires a new set of habits. It's not that it's impossible. It's absolutely not impossible. It simply requires you to adopt a new set of habits. And many of us think that, I hear this a lot, is, and it's okay because I've been through it myself as well, but many of us think that in order to go here, to achieve something new or accomplish something new or create new symptoms or manifestations in our life, that it's going to be hard and require a lot of time, when in actuality, the work of habit behavior change is not difficult. It is not hard. It does not require more strength, more willpower, more smarts than anyone else. It is simply requires a heightened state of awareness. And it's in that heightened state of awareness that you are aware of how it is that you're feeling. And when you're aware of how it is that you're feeling, you can trace that back in terms of how it is that you're thinking, right? Of course, in physical behaviors, most of us with the stress habit, we live in such a habit is an automatic thing. We do it, we don't think about it. So if stress is a habit, it is as easy for you to go be stressed out as it is for you to brush your teeth. You're likely not even recognizing that you're in the stress habit, that you're stressed out. It's very common. And so oftentimes we see a lot of patients and clients, we don't really even think about the fact that if stress and anxiety, when we're in natural stress response and it's low grade state of stress response, which means that we're in fight or flight on a regular basis. I've experienced it in my own body as well, much of, you know, why this work exists, but we can get into the fight or flight response. And if we're constantly in the fight or flight response, if our goal is decreasing inflammation, decreasing fat on the body, then if we're constantly stressed out, it has less to do with the behavior and more to do with the emotional habit and really the thought habit of stress that is putting the fat and inflammation on the body just based upon how it is that we're thinking. That's crazy, right? But we're in that low grade state of fight or flight based upon how it is that we're thinking, because thoughts create emotions, then we're constantly putting fat and inflammation on the body. I can't tell you how many times I've seen, of course, in my life and in our patients as well, that the moment that we rework the stress habit and decrease that, then weight can fall off the body in a very beautiful and easy and effortless way. A really good example, this is what I'm thinking of, is, and I hope you've had this experience. If you haven't had this experience, make the intention of having this experience, would be take a weekend. Have you had a weekend before where you felt good? There was no agenda and you got to sleep in. It wasn't like super crazy like party nights or anything. You got to sleep in, you were relaxed. Food wasn't necessarily, you ate what you ate. You know, even if it wasn't perfect with your food and vegetables and protein all of the time, but you ate what you ate. And by Monday morning, you felt lighter. Like sometimes you could even step on the scale and see that you've lost a few pounds. And it had nothing to do with the food, and it had everything to do with the reduction in stress response, a reduction in the fight or flight response that's happening in the body. And the body was able to just relax. Which is why it is so important that whatever your goal is in health, to create the whole complete permanent health that we're looking for in our lives, we have got to really rework the stress habit and undo it, unravel it. So how do we do that? I'm having coffee with you. Remember that thoughts create emotions. Now I'm going to get a little bit deeper with you, depending on your knowledge of habit behavior change work. Now that's okay. Wherever you're at, it doesn't matter. So we certainly teach this in the habit behavior change health coaching program. Good morning, Marisela. How are you? So how do we unravel it? That's the next step that we're in here together this morning. So we know that thoughts create emotions. Okay. Thoughts create emotions. We only feel what we feel because of what it is that we're thinking. We only feel what we feel because of what it is that we're thinking. And so the human mind has between 50 to 70,000 thoughts on any one given day. That's a lot of thoughts. So in order to, right, if thoughts create emotions, then in order to change the emotion of habitual stress, the stressful emotion, then we have to change the thought. But because we have 60,000 thoughts in our head every single day, I can't go ask you to track and monitor your thoughts. What are you thinking now? What are you thinking now? What are you thinking now? It's absurd. It's never going to happen. But you can track and monitor how it is that you feel. And that's your first step, right? So your first step always comes back to awareness. One of the first things that I mentioned to you this morning, it always comes back to awareness, back to understanding that thoughts create emotions. So if I want to change how it is that I feel, I have to change how I think, but I can't monitor this many thoughts a day. I can monitor how I feel. So there's one of our clients uses this app called Mood Tracker. I think we put it in the curriculum. I think you have to pay for it or something. It's a couple bucks. I don't have it on my phone, but anything will do. The point is this, is in the beginning, you only want to take a few days, you know, maybe it's just 24 hours, but what you'll want to do is when we're in a constant state of stress, we don't see any other way. It's very habitual and we just go. You wake up in the morning, maybe you shove some breakfast in your face. Next thing you know, it's 8 o'clock at night and you got to rinse and repeat. And not the goal, obviously. So what happens is, say for 24 hours, maybe up to 3 days, you want to go in and create some kind of trigger for the mind where you check in, where you just check in every 3 hours, 4 hours, like maybe a gong or something beautiful sounding goes off on your phone, and you check in immediately with your emotions. How am I feeling? How am I feeling? How am I feeling? How am I feeling? You do that throughout the day, and it increases your awareness for both your thought and your emotion. Because when you understand in that moment, how am I feeling, instead of just habitually going through your day and not being aware at all, you tap into a heightened level of awareness to understand what you're thinking and feeling in the moment. When you do that and you say, ah, I am stressed right now, I am sad right now, I am anxious right now, I'm feeling frustrated right now. When you tap into that moment and you understand the emotion that's actually happening, then that opens the door for the next step. Now, in habit and behavior change, we call a part of this process thought redirection. It's a three-step process that says, if I habitually think this way, that causes a bad feeling, then I can redirect my thought because I am not my brain and I am the director of it. Instead of being the directed, that I can direct it to another thought to have a better feeling, right? Thoughts create emotions. So if one thought makes me feel like shit, I can choose another thought that makes me feel better. Now, there are multiple layers within thought redirection. This is not as simple as the very last step in thought redirection, of course, when you're feeling stressed and anxious, simply says, how can I see this differently or feel better about this? If my brain has only ever thought in one very specific way, then it's going to be easy, effortless, and habitual to choose the thought that feels like stress and anxiety. Now, I say that there's many layers of thought redirection because it is this simple, but it's not this simple. There are some types of thoughts, such as catastrophic thinking, often producing lots of anxiety, something else called circling, that's like obsessive thinking. I've been through this myself, and thought addiction is a real thing. It is very real and is very powerful. And oftentimes, it is not as easy for us as to say, well, how can I feel better about this? The posing that question to the brain, sometimes we cannot see the answer because we have so habitually thought in one direction for so long. The grooves in the brain, they deepen like the Grand Canyon, neurons that fire together, wire together. And so we have that path in the brain. It's very easy and habitual and effortless. It's like, if I've always gone down to the stream to go get water, that path, there's no sticks, there's no stones. Let's just go that way. It's very easy. Now, of course, I want to go to the well for water, but there's no path to the well for water. So essentially, I have to carve that. And that's what you're doing through thought redirection. In habit and behavior change, in the curriculum and in the program, we use a lot of self-directed neuroplasticity and everything like that to help ease you into being able to choose a different feeling thought. But I really want to give you a 10,000 foot overview here today to say, yes, A, your habits are not your destiny. And B, the stress habit has real lasting implications, that if you're working towards real permanent whole health, and that the symptoms are manifestations that the habit and behavior change creates, thoughts, the emotions and behaviors, that you can literally think your way into fat and inflammation on the body just based upon a consistent stress habit. And it's really powerful. And then, of course, one of the very first things you'll want to do for yourself is to become, take that, like I had mentioned, I don't know, use Mood Tracker, use something where you check in for up to 24 hours, up to 3 days, and you just check in with your emotions. How am I feeling? How am I feeling? How am I feeling? Every 3 to 4 hours. And that's going to increase your level of just emotional awareness in terms of how am I feeling. Because when you understand how you're feeling, remember I said most of this work is just awareness work, then it is in that moment you have the opportunity to choose a better feeling thought. Now, again, I understand that that is simplistic in nature, choose a better feeling thought. Sometimes it is that easy and sometimes it's not. Remember, if it doesn't feel that easy to you, it is not that you are not strong enough, that you do not have enough willpower, that you're incapable. You are none of those things. You have the ability to do this. There's simply other steps that are required of you first. If there is a lot of catastrophic thinking, overthinking, oftentimes we have to use those techniques in self-directed neuroplasticity to be able to stop the habitual firing of neurons first before we can go pick up a better feeling thought. But really the overview says, if my desire is to have a healthier food diet or not be so stressed out and reach for sugar, it's so much easier to reach for a vegetable when you're feeling good. It's so much easier to go for a walk when you're feeling good. It's so much easier to maintain composure in stressful situations when you're feeling good. And that all starts with your thought. And then if I habitually choose one, I can habitually choose another. There's a little work, but it's more awareness work. And it's very, very rewarding work, of course, because the thought creates the emotion, creates the behavior. And this is the last thing I'll mention this morning, of course, for those of you joining, welcome. Happy Monday morning. If you have any questions, feel free, please just leave your questions or comments. And I'd certainly love to be of any help that I can to you this morning. This one hurts my heart a little bit, and it's probably the reason that I wanted to talk about the stress habit, and you have some actionable steps that you can use now in terms of just increasing that emotional awareness and start using a little bit of thought redirection, even if the concept is completely new to you, is that we have goals for our life. We have things that we want to accomplish for our life. Most of us truly, we desire in some way that if we're feeling out of balance with our life, that we just want to become the best version of ourselves. I would like to think that in most humans and all humans, we're innately driven that way, that we just want to become the very best possible versions of ourselves. And that I have found that this is always just a continuous evolution of self. And it's a great thing. It's a phenomenal thing. There's always, of course, new rabbit holes to go down and explore. And there's a lot of resistance. If you're familiar with work of habit and behavior change, you know that the name of the game is resistance. That the only thing between where you are now and where you want to be is just resistance. That's all it is. Now, it can be resistance in physical behavior, and it can be resistance in thought, and it can be resistance in emotion. So, oftentimes, a lot of us, we want something. We want whole health. We want, anything else to be better with our finances or better communication in our relationships, whatever those things are. But we desire more, and rightfully so, because you deserve all of those things because you're just innately worthy. You live and breathe, and so you deserve those things. You don't have to go do anything to deserve them. So we desire those things. We have some friction in our life maybe because we know that we want to be healthy, that we want to accomplish things, that we want to lose a little weight, that we want to get rid of diabetes, that we want to get off medications, that we want to be able to run around with our children and our grandchildren. We want those things. And don't ever stop wanting those things because that is powerful and real. Just because maybe in the past, your past has always only shown you that maybe you've fallen off the wagon or things don't work. Maybe you're hearing this for the first time, maybe not, but you must keep in mind that the brain, which you're not your brain, but the brain only has access to past experience. The brain only has access to what you have only ever done, which sometimes is the reason that we cannot see the impossible as possible. Because if we have not yet experienced it for ourselves, then we don't know how it's possible. It's one of the reasons that there's such a collective wisdom within our community, because if I want to get off sugar, if I've only gotten off sugar two other ways in the past, then if I have a community of 1,000 people who have gotten off sugar two other ways, now I have a collective wisdom of, like, you know, 2,000 ways to get off sugar, because the brain cannot, we cannot think about what, we can certainly read about new possibility, but to experience new possibility is very different. Knowledge is very different than integration. You are very smart. We are all very smart, but there is, nothing will happen with the knowledge if we do not integrate it into our lives. That's a big key factor. Having behavior change, of course, you know, we have dietitians, we have nutritionists in the program, we have a therapist in the program, and sometimes we can be, those can be, we have a lot of resistance, like, I should know what I should be doing, I'm just not doing it, and what's the matter with me, right? I should know how to do these things. But no, there's a difference between knowledge and integration. You come here to do the integration work. I get a little sidetracked, but the point was, is that when we want something and desire something, we feel the friction and resistance in our lives, because I know I'm here and I know I really want to be there. And so oftentimes the stress habit blinds us in a very big way, and our life becomes very noisy and very chaotic. And when I say noisy and chaotic, what I mean is that we get lost in the fear storm that is our stress habit. We get lost in the stress and the anxiety and the overwhelm and frustration. And we get up in the morning, shove breakfast on our face, and next thing we know, it's 8 o'clock at night. And like I said, we have to rinse and repeat. We get lost in our day. We get lost in our lives. Next thing you know, it's 20 years later when you wake up. And so nothing will ever change, of course, until we get sick and tired of being sick and tired and we're ready to make a change. Now, it doesn't require a lot of work. It's simply awareness work. And so much of the work in habit behavior change is more about an undoing and an unraveling of all of the nonsense of habit that we've created for ourselves, all the piling on of habit in thought, emotion, and behavior that is not the truth of who we are, and so that we can return back to who we really are, because that's what we're craving most. So if you're wanting to make a change in your life, do not allow the stress habit to stop you, because your brain is lying to you, because your brain is saying, I'm too busy, I don't know how I'm going to fit this in. Honestly and truthfully, I love you when I say this, but it's just a bunch of bullshit, and it's a complete lie. It's not something that your brain is just trying to keep you safe in your story, in a story that you have always lived in, an identity and personality and a story and a set of habits that says, if I go here, that it's quite literally, there's a death to a personality, to an old story, that I have to die to who I was to become who I really want to be. And that's powerful, because where there is death, there is new life. So much of this work is that nature in itself. And as we can see the brain for just lying. Now, the brain's not good nor bad. It's just trying to keep you safe and survive. That is, it's a 5-million-year-old tool that is wired for safety and survival. You know, there's only two mistakes that a human 5 million years ago could have made, is we could have thought there was a tiger in the bushes when there was none, and we get stressed and anxious, or we could not think that there was a tiger in the bushes when there was one, and then we died. So there's really being wired for safety and survival. The brain is wired that way, but in having behavior change, you learn you are not your brain. Here's you, here's your brain. Now, of course, you learn other things as well, like you're not your personality, you're not your ego, you're not your brain, you're not your, you're not, none of these things, but that's another conversation, another Facebook Live. And so as you're not your brain, you learn that the brain has its thoughts. It has 60,000 thoughts in a day, but you do not have to associate yourself with that thought. Meaning after 12 years of doing this work on myself, that it's not to say I don't have stressful thoughts, because thoughts produce emotions, that I don't have stress, but I'm able to disassociate myself from that, understanding that I see it, but I don't engage in it. And so please do know, whatever you do, don't ever, change is possible. You're not slave to your habits. Habits are not your destiny. Your current story is not. So when you want to make a change and you're caught in that stress habit, be careful to not get caught in the lies that your mind is telling you. Be careful not to get caught in the lies that your brain is saying, that this is hard, that this requires more of me than I can give, that I don't have the time for it. You do. But it certainly in your brain thinks that this is going to be some big, huge, massive change that is required of your life, and it's really not. It simply requires more of awareness. Your brain is only lying to you, so to speak, again, not good nor bad, because it's afraid of dying, because it wants to keep you safe and survive, because it is afraid that the old story that you have only ever known, the old personality, the old habit story, is going to die. But it has to die for us to step into all that we've ever wanted, right? And it's a good thing. But the brain will hold us in that space. It's the whole reason that here's our comfort zone, here's everything we want. In order to move into that space of everything we want, we have to die to who we were to become who we want to be, to become who we really are. And so there's death to habits. And it's a great thing. It's really a great thing. You know, in habit behavior change, anybody in habit behavior change will tell you that we welcome death in a big way. And where there is death, there is always new life. And that new life is the what you've been asking for. It's the physical manifestations and symptoms that are the things that you want. And we're just, of course, that's just the brain lying to you. So be careful to not associate yourself and not be too consumed and get lost in the thought addiction and the fear storms and the misaligned behaviors that are not you, leading you to a life of symptoms and manifestations that you do not want. And that when you do want to change, be careful that you remain highly aware of the lies and the inconsistencies and the insecurities and the fears that your mind will tell you against where it is that you want to go. You know, you want to be someplace else, and your brain will tell you all of the reasons in which you should not go there. Meaning that if you have only ever eaten candy bars your whole life, if I were to give you an apple right now, you'd look at me like I'm nuts, and that an apple would kill me, would kill you, because all you've ever known is candy bars, that your life is safe with candy bars. But apples, we don't know. Apples, we have no reference point to. Apples may kill me. And that goes for every part of our life. That stress habit, when we are in a constant state in a life of stress, it becomes so normal and so habitual. That peace is weird. That peace is something that I have to work hard for, I have to achieve, I have to be worthy of, which is another complete lie. Peace is our natural habitual state. It is our state. It is our only real state. That's what I wanted to pop in and talk to you about this morning. I hope that was helpful. I was certainly here to take any questions. If anybody has any questions, of course, this is recorded on my Facebook page. So just as a recap today, the stress habit, we have some awareness in terms of the fact that thoughts create emotions, which create behaviors, and therefore the physical symptoms or manifestations in our life. And that the stress habit can induce fat and inflammation on the body because it's inducing the inflammatory response in the body, and that should we want to change it, awareness is our first step. We have to be aware. We cannot change a habit unless we know we are in habit, and so we cannot change stress unless we know we are stressed out in that moment, and we know that stress a thought creates emotion, so we can choose a better feeling thought that's further down the road. And that, of course, when you go to make change or you desire some kind of change, you know, being January, of course, that be careful to not associate yourself as your brain, because the brain will simply just lie to you. Not good nor bad. The brain isn't a bad thing. It's just a tool. Make sure we're using it correctly. And so as the brain goes to say, please stay safe, please stay safe, change is death, death to old habits. And that's good. That's a great thing. But your brain will say, you know, I'm going to die. You're not going to die. You're just going to die to who you were to become who you are and the things that you really want. So be careful of the lies that your brain might tell you and stop you from those places. So if you're interested in the work of habit and behavior change, head to our website, Nuaria, Nuaria. The link is in my Facebook page too. If you go to nuaria.com, you can check us out there. If you go to nuaria.com/pizza, you can schedule a complimentary 15-minute consultation that's going to be with me right now. If you're watching this video in the future, I don't know who it's going to be with. And we'll talk about habit behavior change, the health coaching program. You do not have to be in Phoenix or Scottsdale, Arizona to do it with us. And we can talk about your desired symptoms, manifestations in your life, your goals and intentions, whatever those may be, and see if this is a good fit for you. We can certainly talk about that and your options about moving forward as well. So I hope that was helpful for you. And I hope that none of you will be in stress for today. And always remember that change is real and possible, that there is always, always, always a better way. A better way is always possible, and anything that you have dreamed as impossible is possible. It's simply that you have not yet experienced it yet. So if anybody has any questions, I'll hang around for just a moment. But hello, good morning, Pam, Jesse, Julie, Shannon, Maricela, Mary. Good morning, ladies. How are you? Hello, hello. I hope you're hanging out and having a great morning this morning, or early afternoon, depending on where you are. Awesome. Well, I hope that was helpful for everyone. So have a fantastic rest of your day, and sending lots of love. Thank you for being here. Have an awesome rest of your day. Bye.